past couple of 3 weeks trying to figure out the balance between beating you guys up with information and letting that information become a real mundane and arcane, just kind of, there's no way, unless you actually get in and dig in and study it, you're going to even understand, some of the questions that arise. But at the same time, on the other end of things, you ought to be interested in this stuff, folks. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to sit in that thing right there one day. Within the next, you realize, don't you, that it could be within the next 10 years. Okay? If not the next 10 years, then the next 50. If not the next 50, then the next 100. And God willing, it ain't going to be that. But you do understand that when it comes to the apple of God's eye, while that is a terrible depiction of anything, but that ground that sets on that thing is called the sanctuary, and that thing is and always has been what God had His eye on this earth. And so I hope that you can appreciate it. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 40. Did I say 42? Ezekiel. Chapter 41, and Ezekiel chapter 41. Now, last time, we spent quite a bit of time, and here's the deal. I didn't write it up there, but this is north, south, east, and west. This is not a gate. There's not a gate to the west. There's a gate to the east. The king comes in the east and sits down and never leaves. Okay? Now, this is 500 cubits. By the cubit that we've been studying, 500 cubits this way and 500 cubits that way. By a cubit, these peculiar cubits in this passage are a cubit, a normal Bible cubit, which is somewhere between 18 and 21 inches, and then a span. A span being the width of a man's hand. So we're talking about, 18 inches add 4 to 21 inches add 4. So we're talking about the better part of 2 feet. So for around good round number's sake, we're talking about 2 feet. That's 1,000. That's 1,000 feet represented each direction. Okay. Now we'll talk more about it in a minute. Last time, what we went into just a little bit, and I'm trying not to be arcane, but these gates. And drew a big thing like this, only drew the gate as best as possible, and it's really intricate stuff. Folks, this structure is, this is just almost silly looking, cartoonish, but this is a monstrous, massive architecture here. We're talking about, this is a wall. That wall is 6 cubits wide, 6 cubits this way. That's 12 feet. Now that's a wall. This room is 50 feet wide. So divide this room into quarters down the sides, and one quarter width is close to 12 feet. Now that's a wall. Now, these gates are monstrous. These these pillars and stuff that he's talking about. The posts of one door is 5 cubits by 5 cubits. Okay, 10 feet by 10 feet. This way, that way. And, Lord, I don't even know what's on it. But we're talking about a massive structure, okay? And it's not just masonry block either. It's not just concrete blocks. There's going to be some intricate work in there that's going to knock your eyes out, okay? And that's going to be where the Lord's place. So, we finished Ezekiel 40 last time, kind of as best we could. And the last thing it mentioned, we're kind of working our way in, just so you know now, give you a little bit of a reminder. Now, this is east. So, coming from east into it, you come in, you go up 7 steps, and then you're in the outer court. And then you go up 8 steps, and then you're in the inner court. And then you go in here, and that's an altar. That altar, if I remember right, is 14 cubits by 14 cubits. It's almost 30 feet long and 30 feet wide. And then that's the tabernacle, the temple as such. And so last time, the last couple of things in the that we studied, last two verses in chapter 40, was that porch. These are two pictures. Just forget. I mean, that's one thing. This is another thing. This is the temple right here. And it's a very poor rendition. I'm not even sure how much of it is right. But this represents the porch, okay? And now we're going to go into what's going on in the temple. It's going to read through fast. I spent quite a bit more time trying to sort it out. I looked in books. Nobody can seem to agree about some details. Some details are plain enough. Some details, it's in the verbiage of things. And you say, well, see there, there's a perfect example of why the King James Bible needs to be updated. Because you can't even figure out, you don't know what you're talking about. Here's the deal. Have you ever read the instructions to a VCR? You ever read the instructions on how to put together a grill? I mean, sometimes you can read that thing and go, what? Right? And the deal is, the Bible is written in such a way that God knew exactly what He was writing, but it's a legal document, it's very exacting, and there's just some of these things, I'm just assured, that it just takes some, you're just going to have to wrestle with it for a while. Somebody's going to have to take it and wrestle with it long enough to get a hold of it to figure out what the Lord's talking about. You know, one time within the last few years, for a school project, I remember we assigned Seth to, we just moved into the house in Oak Grove. And we assigned Seth, you know, that he needed to bring somebody in the garage door and then walk them through the house in words. And then he was to write it out in such a way that when he's done writing it, somebody should be able to draw a picture of the layout of the house. And we picked Paulo to spring this on. Now, at the time, we didn't know that Paulo couldn't read, but no, I'm kidding. Anyway, you know, I looked at, Seth was 3 or 4 years younger than he is now, and I looked at it, and, you know, there were some things, but it was pretty good, you know. I mean, I could certainly see what he was talking about. Paulo didn't even get close, okay? So you imagine trying to figure, you know, an intricate building out by somebody describing it to you in words, and it's going to take some help of the Holy Spirit, undoubtedly. Anyway, chapter 41, verse 1. Afterward, he brought me into the temple and measured the posts. Now, there's some verbiage here. You know, like I said, split this picture off. This is that right there. And I'm assuming that this entire structure here is the temple. He brings him into the temple and measured the posts. 6 cubits broad on the one side, 6 cubits broad on the other side, which was the breadth of the tabernacle. Now again, got an issue with verbiage here, but and I worked with my own, you know, my own drawing, and then had 3 or 4 other guys that I had stuff laid out. None of them agreed together. They didn't agree with me, and here we are. But as best I can figure it out, what he's talking about for a post, now this is a porch here. So take the porch off. I think that width right there is the post. Whether there's an outside post, I don't know, but this entire wall, structural wall going back in there, is 6 cubits. And again, that's 12 feet wide. Not 12 feet tall, 12 feet wide. That is that section of chairs in the center. Now that's a wall. That is a wall, brother. Verse 2, and the breadth of the door was 10 cubits. I got that. That's simple. That door is 10 cubits wide, so it's the better part of 20 feet wide. And the sides of the door were 5 cubits on one side, 5 cubits on the other side. I'm assuming that to the, you know, here's, I'm not going to go through all this, but here's 10, here's 5, and then there's the 6 cubit wall. And he measured the length thereof, 40 cubits, the breadth, 20 cubits. Then he went inward and measured the post of the door, 2 cubits, and the door, 6 cubits, the breadth of the door, 7 cubits. Now what he's talking about is that he walks in here. This is 10 feet wide, that's 10 cubits wide, that's 5, that's 5. This is 40 cubits long, this is 20 cubits wide, And then he comes to this door, and I think he's talking about it being 2 cubits that way. But I don't know. Then he went in and measured, verse 3, the post, the door, 2 cubits, and the door, 6 cubits. The breadth of the door, 7 cubits. So I guess the door is 6 cubits tall. That's 12 feet tall. So that's a pretty high door. So he measured the length thereof, 20 cubits, the breadth, 20 cubits before the temple. And he said unto me, this is the most holy place. Okay, that's what he's talking about right there. That's the most holy place. That was the door he was talking about. After he measured the wall of the house, 6 cubits, already talked about that, and the breadth of every chamber, 4 cubits, round about the house in every side. And the side chambers were 3. Okay, he's talking about chambers. Those little cubes are chambers. They are 4 cubits by 4 cubits, and it's hard to figure out where they belong. One guy has them going around the entire perimeter, but then that seems to throw off measurements otherwise. So this is just a rough sketch. I don't even know. But so you know, it's a wrestling match. Verse 6, the side chambers were 3, one over the other, 30 in order. So there's 30 of them along the wall, but they're 3 high. So they're stacked. They're 3 stories stacked. And they entered into the wall which was of the house for the side chambers round about, that they might have hold, but they had not hold in the wall of the house. What's talking about there is those chambers apparently are not supported in that wall. There was an enlarging and a winding about still upward to the side chambers. All the guys say that those are winding staircases up 3 stories to access those chambers. It doesn't say that, but winding. I don't know what else winding would be. For the winding about of the house was still upward, round about the house. Therefore, the breadth of the house was still upward. And so increased from the lowest chamber to the highest by the midst. I saw also the height of the house round about. The foundations of the side chambers were a full reed of 6 great cubits. I can't even picture that. I'm not sure what that is. The thickness of the wall, which was for the side chamber without, was 5 cubits. That wall is 5 cubits. That wall, 6 cubits. Those are walls. Verse 9. The thickness of the wall, which was for the side chamber, that was 5 cubits. That which was left was the place of the side chambers that were within. And most of them have drawn a hallway to access the side chambers. And I'm assuming that that's correct. I'm assuming that's what it's talking about with that which was left. I'm not trying to beat y'all up with this. I know that you're probably, you know, whatever. But I studied it, so you're going to get it. The 10. And between the chambers was the wideness of 20 cubits round about the house on every side. And again, some of this verbiage, it makes me wonder, but the bottom line is that what you have is 100 cubits there to there, there to there, there to there, there to there, and there to there. With the measurements there, then it's 100 cubits from there to there with a 20 cubit boundary round about the tabernacle. And it equals, that adds up to 100 if all the rest of that's right. So you got to go with the numbers that work. Verse 11. The doors of the side chamber were toward the place that was left. One door toward the north, the other door toward the south. And the breadth of the place that was left was 5 cubits round about. Now, the building that was before the separate place at the end toward the west was 70 cubits broad. There's a building back over here to the west. Right there, 70 cubits broad. It's 90 cubits that way. Verse 12, now the building that was before the separate place at the end toward the west was 70 cubits broad. The wall of the building was 5 cubits thick round about, the length thereof 90 cubits. So he measured the house, it's a tabernacle, 100 cubits long. Then the separate place, the building, with the walls thereof 100 cubits long, which we have. Also the breadth of the face of the house and of the separate place toward the east, 100 cubits. And he measured the length of the building over against the separate place, which was behind it, and the galleries thereof on the one side and on the other side, 100 cubits, with the inner temple and the porches of the court. Now, I can't picture it real well, but there are some other structures back here, and they have galleries. From what best I can tell, a lot of these walls are real high and they have galleries. If you've ever been in orchestra hall, they have galleries up on the side where people sit and watch. So there's some sort of a capability, for folks to sit or stand up in those galleries and look down on the temple courts. I'm assuming for special feasts and all that kind of stuff, but there's galleries all over the place. And I'm hoping that somebody is brilliant and comes up with a perfect picture of this thing. So, any of you, just let me know. Verse 6, the doorposts and the narrow windows, and here we're lost. I mean, it's just one thing after another now. The galleries round about on their 3 stories over against the door, sealed with wood round about and from the ground up to the windows, and the windows are covered. I mean, we got posts and windows and galleries and stories. They're sealed. To that above the door, verse 17, even unto the inner house, and without by all the wall, round about, within, and without by measure. Now, folks, I think the King's English is perfect. I just think I'm stupid. I don't even know what he said there. Verse 18, and it was made with cherubims. Now, I understand that. And palm trees. So there's this very intricate, detailed, woodwork. That's gone on with this thing, cherubims and palm trees. So that a palm tree was between a cherub and a cherub, and every cherub had 2 faces. So that the face of a man was toward the palm tree on the one side, the face of the young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. It was made through all the house round about. So all these pillars and walls and stuff are decorated with these cherubs and palm trees and stuff. Verse 12, from the ground unto above the door were cherubims and palm trees made, and on the wall of the temple. The posts of the temple were squared, and the face of the sanctuary, the appearance of the one as the appearance of the other. Now, what's the difference between a temple and a sanctuary? That's what I had to ask. And I'm not sure that I have the exact answer, but it does bring up an interesting thing to just take note of here and get away from all the intricate detail just a little bit here for a second. Look in Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37, and notice what he says here, verse 26. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them. And notice he says something. I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. So a sanctuary and a tabernacle are different. My tabernacle shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God. They'll be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Now, what is that sanctuary? Look in Ezekiel 42 real quick. Ezekiel 42, and go down to verse 15. We'll cover this in a minute, but it's worthwhile to see this now. This is how Jerusalem is going to be laid out. This will give you a little bit bigger picture. Now, when he had made an end of measuring the inner house, he brought me forth toward the gate whose prospect is toward the east and measured it round about. So the Lord took him out and took him out this eastern gate, and he's standing outside this eastern gate. And then it says, And he measured the east side with the measuring reed 500 reeds. Now that's not 500 cubits, it's 500 reeds. How many cubits in a reed? Remember? Six. Six cubits in a reed. So we're talking about 500 times six cubits, which is 3,000 cubits. So here's what he's saying. You have a sanctuary. That little square is that big square. And it is 500 cubits. He walks out the eastern gate right there and measures 3,000 cubits by 3,000 cubits by 3,000 cubits by 3,000 cubits. Okay, 3,000 cubits, if that cubit is about 2 feet, that's 6,000 feet. Unless I'm mistaken, there's 5,200 plus feet in a mile, right? Okay, so you have a 1,000-foot square courtyard temple area, which is that, and around about it, you have a mile each direction. And here's what it says about that. Verse 19 of Ezekiel 42. He turned about to the west side and measured 500 reeds. Measuring reed, measured 500 reeds all the way around. He measured it by the four sides. It had a wall round about 500 reeds long, 500 reed broad, to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. Now, if I'm reading this right, you know what he just said? Okay, that whole structure is the sanctuary. That's God's sanctuary. It represents that. And that place, that mount, is so holy, in spite of the fact that the dirty, rotten, stinking Mosque of Omar presently sits on top of it. That thing is so sanctified that when God gets there, He is going to put a mile distance each direction between Him and anything outside. And this all out here is the profane place. As in profanity. As in, God is not going to put up with, in His presence, with some of the stuff that's round about Jerusalem right now. I mean, you know, remember that when Moses went up on the mount, he said, don't let anybody come up here, lest they be shot through with a dart. Only Moses and Joshua were allowed. Even Joshua was allowed part way up the mountain. Moses was allowed to go all the way up the mountain. Everybody else stayed away or else. Okay, it's going to be like that. There's going to be priests and so on. There will be times for, you know, a convocation and that kind of stuff. But until then, folks better stay away. The Lord put a mile distance between His sanctuary and the outside world. How about that? That's called separation. Ezekiel chapter 41, verse 21. Ezekiel 41, 21. Posts of the temple were squared, and the face of the sanctuary, the appearance of the one as the appearance of the other. The altar of wood was 3 cubits high, and the length thereof 2 cubits. And the corners thereof, and the length thereof, and the walls thereof were of wood. And he said unto me, this is the table that is before the Lord. Now you know, that's not the, that altar is not that altar. That altar is huge. Evidently that altar is in here somewhere. It evidently is a table in here somewhere. Verse 23, and the temple and the sanctuary had 2 doors. And the doors had 2 leaves apiece. Now, can I just tell you? I don't know what he's talking about. I know what leaves are on doors, but I don't know what 2 doors he's talking about. There are for sure 3 gates all the way around the perimeter on 2 different sides, in 2 different levels. This point, I don't know what it is. Anyway, verse 24, the doors had 2 leaves apiece, 2 turning leaves, 2 leaves for the one door and 2 leaves for the other door. Unless he's talking about these doors, that door and that door. Maybe that works. If that's the case, then they're bifold doors, right? where you have two halves and they each fold, you know, they each have two panels that fold like this, right? Just like maybe your closet door. Verse 25, and there was made on them, on the doors of the temple, cherubims and palm trees, like as were made upon the walls, and there were thick planks upon the face of the porch without. And there were narrow windows and palm trees on the one side, on the other side, on the sides of the porch, and upon the side chambers of the house, and thick planks. Then he brought me forth unto the utter court. Utter court meaning outer court, meaning this one out here. He brought me into the utter court, the way toward the north, so the one up on top. And he brought me into the chamber that was over against the separate place, and which was before the building towards the north. Now, here's the deal, for what it's worth. Like I said, you're probably not interested in this unless you've ever tried to figure it out, but that's the separate place. Which means that what he's describing now is some sort of a structure, some sort of a building over here. He's going to tell you what it is in a minute. Verse 2, before the length of 100 cubits was the north door, and the breadth was 50 cubits, over against the 20 cubits which were for the inner court, and over against the pavement which was for the utter court, was gallery against gallery, and three stories. Three-story high galleries, like orchestra hall, stack three. A gallery apparently for onlookers. And before the chambers was a walk of 10 cubits breadth inward, a way of one cubit, and their doors toward the north. Now the upper chambers were shorter, for the galleries were higher than these, than the lower, and than the middlemost of the building. You lost yet? I am. For they were in three stories, but had not pillars as the pillars of the courts. Therefore the building was straightened more than the lowest and the middlemost from the ground. Bladdle, laddle, 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 laddle. I don't get it, right? Do you get it? Or am I stupid? Jerry. I got that, but what does it look like? Oh, just like it said. Yeah, I'll buy that. Yeah. Thanks. Verse 7, and the wall that was without over against the chambers toward the utter court, on the forepart of the chambers, the length thereof was 50 cubits. After you spend 4 hours on this, you'll want to go do something else. Verse 8, for the length of the chambers that were in the utter court were 50 cubits, and lo, before the temple were 100 cubits. And from under these chambers was the entry on the east side, as one goeth into them from the utter court. So looks like somebody's coming in from the utter court. That's the utter court. There's some sort of a structure back here. I can't picture it. But what it is the priests are going in here, and there's an access way so they can get all the way in here and all the way into here like this. I can't picture what it's doing. There are stacked galleries and stuff, but you'll see here in a second. Verse 10, the chambers were in the thickness of the wall of the court toward the east, over against the separate place and over against the building. It's talking about this is the separate place. So again, you know, there's some sort of a structure, you know, in here somehow that allows access, you know, in there into the corner of the temple. Verse 11, and the way before them was like the appearance of the chambers that were toward the north, as long as they and as broad as they, and all their goings out were both according to their fashions and according to their doors. And according to the doors of the chambers that were toward the south was a door in the head of the way, even the way directly before the wall toward the east, as one entereth into them. Then said he to me, the north chambers and the south chambers, which are before the separate place, they be holy chambers, where the priests that approach unto the Lord shall eat the most holy things. There shall they lay the most holy things, and the meat offering, and the sin offering, and the trespass offering, for the place is holy. Both north and south, then, there are these structures here, and the priests go in there, and that's where they eat the holy things. They are a separate place for the priests. Verse 14, when the priests enter therein, when the priests enter therein, then shall they not go out of the holy place into the utter court. But there they shall lay their garments wherein they minister, for they are holy, and shall put on other garments, and shall approach to those things which are for the people. Now when he had made an end of measuring the inner house, he brought me forth toward the gate, whose prospect is toward the east, and measured it round about. He measured the east side with a measuring reed, 500 reeds, and the measuring reed round about. He measured the north side, 500 reeds with the measuring reed round about. He measured the south side, 500 reeds and the measuring reed. He turned about to the west side, measured 500 reeds and the measuring reed with the measuring reed. He measured it by the four sides. It had a wall round about, 500 reeds long, 500 reeds broad, to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. That's what we just read a little while ago. Any questions? Any suggestions? Yes, sir. It's out here. It's saying that this is for a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. Yes? Oh, yeah, for sure. 43:1. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate which looketh toward the east. Here he comes, brother. Here he comes. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and this earth shined with his glory. It's a millennium. Here he comes in the gate. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice is like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. Notice what he says, when I came to destroy the city. Now, he back in Ezekiel 5, he came and pronounced that God was going to destroy the city. But this prophet, you know, I take it that he's saying, you know, when God tells me to tell you that the city's going to be destroyed, and I say the city's going to be destroyed, I'm destroying the city by my pronouncement, because it's God's word and it's going to come to pass. When I came to destroy the city, and the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kebar, and I fell upon my face. So what he's seeing is the same, four cherubs with the firmament and this throne with this, figure on the throne. That's what he's seeing. He said that's the same thing he saw by Kebar. Verse 4, and the glory of the Lord came unto the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. He came in east to west. Verse 5, so the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, my holy name shall the children of Israel no more defile, neither shall they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. He says, don't let them bring those kings' rotten carcasses in here. In their setting of their threshold by my threshold, and their post by my post, and the wall between me and them, they have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed, wherefore I have consumed them in mine anger. Now let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Thou son of man, show the house, thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, let them come and look. And buddy, they come and look, and it's enough to make them ashamed. Because, I mean, imagine this. Imagine, you know, here's a bunch of Israelites come in at the beginning of the millennium and see this thing. And you know what they have to think? They have to think, we could have had this 2,000 years ago. You know, right? And they could have. Verse 11, and if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, the fashion thereof, the goings out there. I'm going to take them and show them around. I'm going to show them the cherubims and the palm trees and all those things, and just let them see the detail and the majesty and the glory and the shining and just the... Brother, this is a massive structure, man. Verse 11, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. Up on the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. For 500 cubits each direction, God just lives in there. And then there's a mile north, south, east, and west of border to keep the wicked away. And the profane better stay away. Verse 13, and these are the measures of the altar after the cubits. Now this is the altar. This is the altar of burnt offering right there in the courtyard. And I can't figure it out. The cubit is a cubit and a hand breadth. So once again, it's a cubit here and then a hand breadth. So it's the better part of 2 feet, maybe a little over, maybe a little less. The cubit is a cubit and a hand breadth. Even the bottom shall be a cubit, and the breadth a cubit, and the border thereof, by the edge thereof, round about, shall be a span. Now, I don't know what that cubit is. I'm not sure if it's depth or what, because if it's just one cubit, that's just 2 feet. And you're going to see in a second, this thing is gigantic. So I have a hard time thinking that the whole thing sits down, you know, on a 2-cubit little deal like that. I'm not exactly sure what that is. But verse 14, from the bottom up on the ground, even to the lower settle, there are 2 settles. Apparently it's a fitting, you know, it fits down into the ground, and then there's another fitting that kind of telescopes down, you know, into the first fitting. It's something like that. Verse 14, and from the bottom up on the ground, even to the lower settle, shall be 2 cubits, and the breadth 1 cubit. And from the lesser settle, even unto the greater settle, shall be 4 cubits, and the breadth 1 cubit. So, the altar shall be 4 cubits. I believe that means in height. And from the altar and upward shall be 4 horns. The altar shall be 12 cubits long, 12 broad square, in the 4 squares thereof. I mean, we're talking about 12 by 12 cubits. That's 24 feet by 24 feet. That's, you can put a lot of calves on that thing. Right? Verse 17, huh? There you go. And the settle shall be 14 cubits long and 14 broad in the 4 squares thereof. And the border about it shall be 1/2 cubit, and the bottom thereof shall be 1 cubit about. And his stairs shall look toward the east, so it has stairs. You have to get tall enough it has stairs to go up into it, onto it. He said unto me, Son of man, thus saith the Lord God, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day when they shall make it to offer burnt offerings thereon and to sprinkle blood thereon. Now folks, they're making offerings. They're making offerings here when the Lord Jesus Christ is standing right there. His work is all finished. He's died, bled, rose again from the dead, gone back to heaven, come back, whooped up on the heathen, and now he's sitting as king. And these guys are still sacrificing sacrifices. Now, folks, that's why it says this. Look in Colossians real quick. That's why it says this. He wasn't kidding. Colossians chapter 2, Colossians 2, 16. Now, you know, if it was me, I don't completely understand it all. If it was me, and I'd sent my son to a die for sins, and he was buried, he rose again the third day, and came back and whooped up on the heathen, and he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and sin, you know, was taken care of by his blood, you know, I certainly wouldn't be killing poor little calves and sheep and lambs again. But that's not what the Lord did. Okay? Because all that's coming back, and apparently it's necessary. You know, some people, you know, say, well, it's just, you know, it's not really the real thing. It's just, what do they say? Say it again? A picture, yeah. They use another word. I can't remember what it is right now. But, folks, it's coming back. So it says, verse 16 of Colossians 2, let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink. See, you're not supposed to let them judge you for that. Or in respect of an holy day. So Christmas, Easter, you know, Halloween, Father's Day, Mother's Day, Veterans Day, Memorial Day. Or of the new moon. We had a guy visit church one time, and he came to church one Sunday morning and said he was going to a new moon service that night. Or of the Sabbath day. So, Seventh-day Adventist night, we go by Seventh-day Adventist church on our way home. And they're always out there on Saturday, you know, worshiping, and they think we're going to hell because we worship on the first day of the week. You know what I say? Let no man judge you. Okay? Verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. Body Christ is something entirely different. But those things are a shadow of things to come. Those things are coming back. And there's a massive altar there because there's going to be stuff burned on it all the time. And part of being right with God for a whole bunch of people will revolve around having the right sacrifice. That's what it says. It's not what John R. Rice thought, but it's what the Bible says. Okay, go down to verse chapter 43, we're going to finish this chapter. 18. And he said unto me, Son of man, thus saith the Lord God, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day when they shall make it to offer burnt offerings thereon and to sprinkle blood thereon. Thou shalt give to the priests, the Levites, that be the seed of Zadok, which approach unto me, to minister unto me, saith the Lord God, a young bullock for a sin offering. And that I shall take the blood thereof and put it on the four horns of it and on the four corners of the settle and upon the border round about. Thus shalt thou cleanse and purge it. Thou shalt take the bullock also of the sin offering, and he shall burn it in the appointed place of the house without the sanctuary. And on the second day thou shalt offer a kid of the goats without blemish for a sin offering. They shall cleanse the altar as they did cleanse it with the bullock. When thou hast made an end of cleansing it, thou shalt offer a young bullock without blemish and a ram out of the flock without blemish. Thou shalt offer them before the Lord, and the priest shall cast salt upon them, and they shall offer them up for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Now, the word I was trying to pull out a while ago was memorial. Some people say these things only memorialize Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I don't know. He's sitting right there before you.
What about this? As a thought, these sacrifices are for the atonement of Israel, the nation Israel, for the sins, the corporate sins of the nation, and the corporate sins of all the rest of the nations that have the privilege of being in God's kingdom when He's ruling here on the earth.
Okay. Yeah, except, you know, he's going to take their sins away at the beginning of the millennium and not going to remember them anymore. And why you have to walk through this to cleanse an altar then, I don't know. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying we're throwing things out. That's what I would throw back. I don't know. Let me finish here. Verse 25, 7 days shalt thou prepare every day a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bullock and a ram out of the flock without blemish. 7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it, and they shall consecrate themselves. Here are Levites getting ready. Well, Malachi, he shall purify the sons of Levi. You know, why? He's a great high priest. He's sitting there right there. You know, why do these guys need this? If it's not affirming, this priest class thing again. Verse 27, and when these days were expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day and so forward, the priest shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God. Okay? Maybe that's an acceptance there. Maybe this is how they're accepted. I don't know. We'll read more and find out more. Yes? All I know is I'm going to be his wife. I'm just going to sit around and watch. Anything else? Somebody want to pitch in, Brother Dave? Maybe. Yeah, they are. By the way, you're a builder. You should figure this out. Yeah, Brother Josh. Yeah, a model. Yeah. Yeah. This is Mount Zion. I mean, this is the Mount. This is the Temple Mount. Then whatever is a mile in each direction from there. You mean Jerusalem proper? Who's been? Vlad, you've been to Jerusalem? Go a mile each way. It's plenty big, right? Yeah, yeah. You're going to be going down a hill when you go any direction away from this thing. Yeah. What's the population of Jerusalem right now? Bryce, you know? A couple million, 5 million? It's not New York, I know that. Okay, anything else? Okay. Let's open up and sing one more. Steph, you want to come? You're not going to get beaten up many more weeks with this. But again, this is here's the Lord telling you what the land's going to be like. It's how things are going to be. It's cool. Number 355. I thought since we were talking about the sanctuary, this might work pretty good tonight. 355.
Amen.
Father, we're glad to have a mercy seat to come to. We have ready access through the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, that veil, which is to say His flesh. And we're glad for the relationship with that that we have. Lord, it's not like anything that anybody in the Old Testament enjoyed, quite like we do. So we pray, Father, we'd take full advantage. We look forward for a day when things are fulfilled from the Bible, not just in spirit, not just in heaven, but where they're literally fulfilled in stone and wood and gold and silver. And we look forward to the day. There will be a day, Lord, that all the stuff we go through now will just be a memory, if even that. So we look forward to the day. We pray that you'll help us now as we battle on through. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.